BP's CEO is in the hot chair.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's been nearly 2 months since that oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico exploded, killing 11 workers, injuring others, and knocking a gaping oil-spewing hole in the rig's deepwater well. Up to now, BP CEO Tony Hayward's mostly said things that made people upset, like it's a tiny amount of oil spilled compared to the vast size of the Gulf, or that he'd like his life back. Today, Hayward's sounding a bit more contrite to the people who live nearby.
I know that this incident has had a profound impact on your lives and caused great turmoil, and I deeply regret that. I also deeply regret the impact the spill has had on the environment.
Hayward's before a House committee that for now is recessed to talk about the cleanup and the company's plans to pay. For Congress, it is good political theater, but is there really a point to all this? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
Earlier in the week, lawmakers at another hearing wanted to know why oil companies mentioned walruses in disaster management plans for the Gulf. They haven't lived there for 3 million years. ExxonMobil's Rex Tillerson dutifully admitted the mistake.
And it's unfortunate that walruses were included.
Grill, baby, grill. Politicians love skewering CEOs. It looks good to voters back home. But does it actually lead to meaningful business regulations? Alan Lichtman is an expert on politics and elections at American University.
These hearings can build momentum and publicity for real legislation, whatever that may be.
The hearings can also build momentum for the courtroom. Carl Tobias teaches law at the University of Richmond. He says lawyers will be waiting for BP CEO Tony Hayward to make an incriminating statement today.
Well, it's possible that it could be used in some future case that the Justice Department might put together.
A case against BP or Hayward himself. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The number of people filing for unemployment checks rose last week by 12,000, according to the Labor Department. Another report released today shows inflation for now is not a worry. The nation's consumer price index dropped for the second straight month. Let's check out some numbers. Markets are down right now. The Dow off about, a third of a percent, 40 points, 10,369. The NASDAQ and S&P down as well. European shares were mainly higher today, about half a percent or less. And Asian stocks were all over the place, mixed for the most part. The Federal Communication Commission is likely to vote today to go ahead and seek public comment on three different plans to regulate broadband. Now, the FCC is reconsidering rules that govern high-speed internet connections. At the center of the debate is a federal appeals court ruling that's cast doubt on the agency's authority over broadband under its existing regulatory framework. Rob Enderle is a principal analyst at the Enderle Group. He's with us live this morning from San Jose, California. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, this is pitting broadband companies against internet companies. Why are these folks fighting?
Well, they're fighting because both sides want control over the broadband. And what happened since 2002, since the FCC was kind of demissioned, has worked against the U.S. And its leadership in the area.
We hear the term net neutrality and how that's sort of at the center of this debate. What is net neutrality? Give us a little primer.
Well, net neutrality actually has a number of definitions depending on who you talk to. But in general, it means that everybody is treated relatively equally. You aren't criticized based on what kind of content you're providing or who you are. Everybody is equal underneath the internet.
Did we see this coming? I mean, the internet's been around for a long time. People have been using it for a decade or two. Why are we just talking about this now?
Well, primarily because the FCC was kind of crippled back in 2002 when the authority was taken from them. A number of members of the Supreme Court and Congress indicated that was probably going to result in this problem, and it kind of did. I think it was a mistake to reduce the FCC's power, and now we're seeing the result of that mistake. Sometimes it takes a decade for something to impact us.
Rob Enderle helping us to explain this today with us on the phone from San Jose. Rob, thanks.
Pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
The Swiss Parliament today agreed to hand over the names of more than 4,000 Americans suspected of tax evasion The vote confirms a deal Swiss bank UBS made with the U.S. government to avoid charges that the bank helped Americans dodge more than $20 billion in taxes. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us now from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What happens now with all of these Americans accused of tax evasion?
The UBS will now hand over the names of as many as 4,450 of them to the IRS. And unless these people have already been in touch with the U.S. tax man, I imagine they could expect a knock on the door pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, is this the end of Switzerland's famous bank secrecy?
Probably the beginning of the end, yes. Certainly if the U.S. government decides to go for the other 20 or so private banks in Switzerland that offer these services. And Switzerland, of course, has been coming under a lot of pressure from other countries, from neighbouring countries like Italy and Germany over the same issue. So, yes, it does look as if it's the beginning of the end.
And what's the economic fallout of the news, Stephen?
Well, it's quite a blow, but banking, although a big industry in Switzerland, is not the absolutely dominant part of the economy that it once was. This is probably more of a psychological blow than anything else. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank is an economist who knows Switzerland well, and he says this development undermines a basic principle of Swiss national life.
The absolute assurance that your own personal financial details will not be revealed to anybody, not to your neighbour, not to your wife, as it happens, is far more fundamental to the Swiss national psyche than it is to any other.
And that explains how, in the first place, Switzerland became the world's premier hiding place for money.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
And finally, even the biggest of the big are not immune from tiny pests. ABC News reports a 42-story Goldman Sachs office in New Jersey has been infested by bed bugs. Employees on several floors were reportedly moved to other areas. The building's being treated. A spokeswoman wouldn't comment on the bugs. Biting bed bugs? I wouldn't have guessed that's what was keeping Goldman execs awake at night. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.